What do you want?
Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Hey folks, thanks for joining us. Patriot Power Hour, episode 97, Ben the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran here, with co-host Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, sir?
Great, Ben. We got a winner tonight, don't we?
We do. We have the official winner of the Patriot Power Hour, $1 trillion question. It's the trillion-dollar question, Future Dan.
Forget 64,000.
A little inflation these days, I suppose. You blame COVID, right?
What can a trillion get you?
All right. So the answer is... I'm going to read it verbatim because the way it was written gets the context just right as well. Ready? If the average lifetime earnings of a current U.S. college graduate are about $1.65 million. So someone graduates from college right now, they're expected to earn $1.65 million their entire life. Taking that into account, $1 trillion is the entire lifetime's work of 606,000 college grads. 606,000 college grads are going to have to work their entire life just for $1 trillion. That's crazy, man.
Well done to our winner.
Absolutely. So, Moon from the EOC, the winner. Congratulations, Moon. We have several other answers we'll be reading in maybe the second half of the show. No, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just knock it out right now. So, I got one from Popolo25. He's talking about the Marine Corps.
He said runner
the Marine
up.
Corps.
Runner up.
How many Marine Corps could one $1 trillion get you, right? So you ready for that? Pueblo 25 says, let's see. We're looking at, oh, I don't think his math is right. So I'm actually going to check this real quick. Because he said Marine Corps here, and then he put the entire defense budget. So he was using a defense budget of $800 billion. So we're talking more than an entire year's worth of defense budget. But he was looking for Marine Corps. Let me look that up, calculate that, because I want to get hit, because he put in two different numbers from what I see in here. Maybe he tried to extrapolate that into that. But go back to our original answer while I look this up and do the calculation myself. You know, what does it mean that 600,000 college grads... That's the equivalent of $1 trillion in debt. And what we're relating this to, of course, is the debt from COVID and just overall national spending, national debt. So what do you think about that answer?
Yeah, and they did $3 trillion, so it's 1.8 million Americans' lifetimes of college-educated Americans, equivalent of their income. Now, those people won't pay that in taxes, right? They'll pay... a good portion of the 1.65 million in taxes, but not all of it. So it's not even, 1.8 million people in the last quarter for the Fed borrowing that much. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the federal government. This is straight up fiscal, right? So, you know, once you apply tax rates, it's what, 6, 7, 8, 10 million Americans' lifetimes to pay it back in taxes.
That's the key there. And I didn't even want to go down that rabbit hole, but that's a perfect segue. That's the overall earnings, not all the taxes, surcharges, and fees and all that people are paying, you know, over their life.
That's why I love that answer, is it opened up, you know, think about the ramifications of the total. Yeah, it blows you away. That's a hockey stick debt. It can't be paid back. Not in any, you know, several generations would be required to do it.
Exactly. So that's the winning answer from Moon. Thank you, Moon. What does Moon win? Moon wins 1 ounce of silver sent directly or cryptocurrency. Not sure what has been selected so far, but we'll get that out. You know what? I'm actually postponing the second winner until next week because I wanted, as I said last week, I bifurcated this and turned it into a two winners, right? Because I delayed a week. So Moon wins the first contest. The second one, I'm still extending that, and I might even roll that into something bigger with Future Dan for our 100th episode special. So hold on tight. But those who have already, you know, entered, even if you didn't win, you're going to be in the kind of the raffle ticket for that second contest. So we're not just here giving stuff away for fun, you know. We have serious stuff to talk about here, but trying to give back to people here.
Yeah, so this week is not a lot different from last week. So that was a great answer. It puts where we are at nationally in perspective. Because the other shoe hasn't dropped on how bad the crisis has been economically. We got a pretty good idea now, though. It's not the devastating pandemic that it was once feared it could be.
That's the good news. The question, of course, is should we all just go back to work? Should it be phased in, et cetera, et cetera? Hard to say. I would say even if everything went back to 100% normal, we've incurred massive economic damage. Another way to put it, let's go back to Popolo. I found what he was trying to get across. It looked like I found almost exactly what he had wrote, but I think part of it got clipped off. Here's what it comes down to. The Navy and Marine Corps together, $205 billion. So essentially five navies and Marine Corps put together – is $1 trillion.
Five departments of the Navy.
Yeah. Army's about $200 billion too. So it'd be like five armies. Or you, again, put it all together, it's $700, $800 billion. So pretty much the entire military budget and more times three or four. Okay. So four times the annual military budget just in the last few months. I know we're harping on this, but I'm trying to make perspective here, you know?
It might have turned out to have been a really bad mistake.
That's tough to
say. Like
a
colossal failureship of leadership.
It's very possible. Now, here's the question. If we didn't go through all this, if we didn't make these sacrifices, what, instead of 90,000 dead, would it have been 900,000 or 1.5 million? If so, then maybe we could have a conversation. But like you said, it's very possible that the deaths might have, quote unquote, only doubled, and in kind of a sick, weird way, but I'm an insurance guy. What can I say? It would have been worth it because this economic damage is going to hurt and people are going to die on the margin, even if it's just losing their job and suicide. Okay. Literally.
Heart attacks, all that stresses from illnesses they already had because now financially you couldn't make it. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not saying which one's better or not. I think time will tell. And as you and I always talk about, it's kind of Chinese model versus the Western model to some degree. It's going to be an interesting case study that goes on for years and years to come. I tell you that.
It's not a perfect comparison because the outbreak didn't start in the United States, right? If something like that emerged from the United States, would it have ever left the United States? Could we have contained it? So it's not like historically we'll ever have a perfect head-to-head contest, but it seems like most jurisdictions now have the ability to return to contact tracing, and you know the testing has ramped up. So, you know, as we discussed previously, we probably have more transparent numbers than Communist China. So we know what we're dealing with, and it's been contained, I think.
It seems like it. I feel they still got to be vigilant, and in certain areas, if they have outbreaks, got to work that. But it's time to get back. We got to at least try, man, because every day is ticking away billions and billions, literally.
So we have a lot of economic news that we've been waiting on. We're going to get into it in segment two on the heat map dashboard, Blitzkrieg, but some indicators that haven't been active that now, you know, 60 or so, 90 days since the real damage, they're starting to turn on, which is interesting. You see the pattern of the economic fallout, Ben.
That's a good – in my mind's eye, I thought of a nuclear bomb exploding and the different phases of the – not just the blast, but also the nuclear cloud. There was a huge bomb exploded. We saw it, and now all that fallout kind of went up in the air. And now it's starting to come back down on us, a lot of that. And we're starting to see, even though we've had this big jump in the stock market and it's recovered a lot of what it's lost, we're also seeing gold hitting essentially all-time highs. And that brings me to the last contest winner, or excuse me, not the winner, but an entry, didn't win, but had a great, great thought. The entire gold market is $9 trillion, so you could buy more than one-third of the entire world's gold for just the federal stimulus since COVID. It's just pretty crazy.
The known amount of gold mined is estimated at $9 trillion?
Yep, at $1,750 an ounce. Of course, put a zero on the end of that, and we'd be looking at a lot more. But right now, it's less than $10 trillion in gold, which is a hell of a lot of money. But, I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Well, and the federal government borrowed a third of it in the last 90 days.
Correct.
Yep.
And pretty much the Federal Reserve bought it. So that we're also that much more in hawk to the banksters as well.
I would say that if this first segment of the Patriot Power Hour tonight doesn't inspire you on the Prepper Broadcasting Network to continue to be vigilant about everything you endeavor. This kind of fiscal and monetary insanity happened, and we're going to see the blast wave come back in towards the epicenter.
Oof. Going to be rough, but we as preppers, we got a little more clout now. Not that we were seeking it, but we've been kind of shown to be true to some degree. That we'll be talking about that in a little bit more later on. We're going to break here in a second, but some of the lessons learned, you know, what were we glad we prepped for before all this? What do we definitely wish we had and are starting to prep perhaps as well? Some lessons learned. But coming up right after the break, of course, the news blitz for May 19th, 2020. So stick with us. We'll be right back on the Patriot Power Hour.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
This is a special announcement from the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Contact us now for preparedness consultation. We use a network of professionals to build your base of essential preparedness. Let us put you in touch with those professionals in emergency response planning, first aid and medicine, security tactics and training, gunsmithing, food safety, and community organizing. Our experts cover homesteading to bushcraft and everything in between. Build a real emergency response plan for your family or business. Create a written contingency plan complete with drills, guides, and annual goals. Customize your strategy to threats you face today. PBN experts can write your plan to address the 6 categories of base level preparedness. We will discuss how to meet each need within your budget. Create an effective bug out plan. There is a lot to the bug out. If you are truly going to evacuate in an emergency, let's talk about it. Go deep and build out your prepping dreams. Have you tackled the basics? Take it to the next level with tactical and investment advice from our subject matter experts. Let's set up that initial consult and get your preparedness goals met. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com/preparedness-consultation. Affordable preparedness consulting starts with a $50 initial consult. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, building self-reliance and independence across the nation.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
I asked Bear Stearns to price our shorts. They tell me the CDOs still haven't moved.
Listen, you realize that these people are crooks and they should be in prison. Look at the Tavix. You can see that the CDOs are worth zero. So you know what they're doing, huh? You know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're unloading them.
They're selling the dog shit CDOs. Then they go to another bank and short the shit they just fucking there. Sold.
Let's go to the press, man. This is a massive story.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're back. FutureDanger.com news blitz on this Patriot Power Hour. Episode 97, coming in fast on episode 100. Follow along, FutureDanger.com. Let's start first column. Trending. Washington governor to the residents. COVID test deniers will not be allowed to leave home to get some groceries. South Lake Tahoe issues $1,000 fines to tourists and short-term rental owners. Legal challenges hit state coronavirus quarantines. We're seeing a lot of this really come to the forefront now. I think just a couple weeks ago I said it was people were tired. They wanted to get out. And we're starting to see that really start to come together. Looking more to the Liberty side of things. Leaked database may be key to the real Chinese coronavirus numbers. Well, we know those original numbers aren't real. Twitter takes its COVID-19 censorship into overdrive. YouTube censors epidemiologist for opposing lockdown. Camera feed cuts out after CNN asked James Clapper about leaking classified information. All these articles and more on the first column, FutureDanger.com, related to liberty, freedom, censorship of the news, etc. Moving on to the second column, which was very barren last week, but we're seeing a couple red level indicators in articles today. Report Chinese experimenting with bioweapons targeting ethnic groups. Another article, FBI admits Al-Qaeda ties and Pensacola shooters' phones. Not COVID related for once. Yes, we sometimes talk about news that's not COVID related, if you believe it. It sure doesn't seem like it sometimes. Let's see here. We've talked about this on the show a couple. I think I brought this up to Future Dan. He thought it would be an ill-advised idea, but we're seeing a low-level news here where China is conducting major large-scale military drills simulating the seizure of the island. And a DOD simulation says the U.S. would be unable to defend Taiwan from such an invasion. Of course, you know, notwithstanding nuclear devices, but no one wants to use that. Third column, economics, plow right through this. For the first time in almost 3 months, the unemployment rate, the initial jobless claims for the past week, not the unemployment rate, but just the last week, is less than 3 million. Yes, only 2.98 million new folks filed for unemployment in the last week. This is just outside the red zone. But as we've seen about 9-10 weeks of this consecutively, this is insult to injury, to say the least. That's the SHTF level, most important, most critical article in terms of severity on the site right now. Nearly 40% of low-income workers lost their jobs in March. That's March. What about April? What about May? 40%. March. Weekly jobless claims total $2.98 million, and the total is $36.5 million. $36.5 million unemployed. Fourth and final column before I bring on featured Dan. Pestilence befalls. Coronavirus cases in the U.S. surpass 1.4 million, more than 85,000 deaths. That's just in the U.S. Worldwide, 300,000 deaths. That's real people. That's real dying. Even if you could say some of those numbers are manipulated or this, that, and the other thing. It is dangerous disease. To what degree we can discuss, but it is dangerous. Now we're exceeding more than 90,000, an article just a couple days later. So we're still seeing 2, 3,000 dying a day. 90,000, almost to the 100K mark. We'll probably reach that by next episode. Memorial Day weekend coming up. By then, I think we'll be seeing 100,000 dead. Perfect segue, I guess, to go to Future Dan. 100K dead, is that a massive national disaster? Or is it something in between? I mean, what do you think about this?
They already declared the national disaster, so once the government got that involved, it was going to be a national disaster.
Yeah. When but you put it on the same scale as 9/11.
Probably greater, much worse economic impact. Far, far greater impact economically, and of course, more people died. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't an act of war that we know of. That's proven. If it was biological, you know, some kind of agent that was either lost control of or let loose intentionally, then that's a different matter.
True. We try to speculate too much on this show, try to stick to the facts more often than not. But sometimes we do speculate a little bit, or at least discuss potential hypothetical situations. If this was purposefully or accidentally released by China, let's just say that, would the U.S. government even let us know? And how would you expect them to react if it was intentionally or accidentally released by China, let's say? How would the government react differently than it is now, or maybe similarly? Do you have any thoughts on that?
So what can they do? You know, there's all kinds of instances during the Cold War where, you know, most likely the most egregious things done on either side were covered up by both sides, because if they weren't and the public knew, then both publics would have demanded war, which the elites weren't ready to do. So it was right. Kept secret.
Good point. Absolutely. I don't know.
If there's a whistleblower that actually showed evidence, it could spark a war. Third World War, really. So, I mean, there's enough people that are perfectly willing to stick their head straight in the sand and pretend reality is in front of their face. Like, the borrowing of 5 Departments of Navy's annual budget, you know, or actually 15, if you take a look at what they just did.
Correct, yes.
You know, I guess if we're in a big enough war, you could just borrow 15 extra navies. If something tells me that's when economics gets real.
Exactly. A
couple indicators you missed that are new, 30% of Americans raiding their piggy bank accounts. And I know you want to do that quick and get it over to me, but so I get a chance to tell everybody that. That's another shoe falling, right? You get the indicator heated up for the first time on Future Danger, and it's a trailing indicator of the damage done. And another indicator that is active again, bond market crashing. Right? Corporate bonds are still really shaky. And all of this might be thin ice where there's another level of fallout to the entire market. We're watching that news.
It's big time. We're seeing just yesterday the Dow was up 900 points, up to about 24,500 right now. At its low, it was at, I believe, about 18,500. It's now at 24.5, and its all-time high was about 28.5. So it's recovered, let's say, half, maybe even a little bit more than the coronavirus lows in middle to late March, right? But that's because of all that fiscal stimulus and deficit spending and all these emergency situations. That's why we've been harping on it so much. That's once this runs out, and it will run out, and you hinted at it when economic reality actually really rings home that you can't print 15 navies overnight with the Fed and the banksters, right? That actually doesn't work with physical assets and machinery and capital that makes civilization work and makes the war machine turn, even if you want to just look at it from that point of view. So that's pretty disconcerting. I guess our enemies, China, etc., also took a big hit from this. So maybe no one will want to really start and try to take advantage of anything. But on the other hand, desperation, desperate times, desperate measures. So
right, and we're going to continue to see a lot of threatening actions by China around Taiwan, probably into Japanese air and sea space, and probably down near Vietnam, just getting into some kind of confrontations with that country too, because it stabilizes public mood in China, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, what quickly stabilized at least the public protest in Hong Kong were absolutely shut down due to COVID. Who knows? Maybe resistance is building up under the lockdowns and all this stuff. But on the flip side, it's the perfect cover for the police state to come in, crack some heads, take some leaders away. And don't think that in certain parts of America, at least, that type of police state, don't think that we're that far from China in certain jurisdictions, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, they're showing themselves now, though, and that might be a good thing. The governor of Michigan and several other localities have been struck down by courts lately. Of course, that news then isn't going to be on the second segment of every Patriot Power Hour when we cover the heat map, because it's good news, right? It's making it to the courts, and some of these local measures are being found, unconstitutional by local judges, including, prohibiting church services but leaving liquor stores open.
That's a great point. Maybe we need to have a special segment, like once a week, of all the successful end results of some of these articles. We should track them, you know what I mean? Because we're not negative Nancys by any means. We're trying to be as realistic as possible. We're trying to focus on threats, though. That doesn't mean we're pessimistic or always looking for bad things. We're just looking for risk. We got about 20 seconds, 30 seconds left. What do you, in terms of that philosophy for dealing with this negative news, you got any final thoughts on that before we hit the break?
Yeah, less of it's better, man. Less of it's better.
So when we don't have much news, maybe that's a good sign. Maybe someday we'll not have enough news to do this show. I highly, highly doubt that is happening anytime soon, though. All right, folks, going to the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in another 30 minutes of Patriot Power Hour, so stick with us. We'll be right back. It's not my time to wonder why everything all white, everything's gray. Now you're here, now you're away.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month? $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. patreon.com/PBN.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
There are stories circulating on the internet that in India and elsewhere, the drug ribavirin has been shown to be effective against this virus. Yet, Homeland Security is telling the CDC not to make any announcements until stockpiles of the drug can be secured.
Well, Dr. Gupta, there continue to be evaluations of several drugs. Ribavirin is among them. But right now, our best defense has been social distancing. No handshaking, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands frequently.
Can you tell us to date how many people have died from this virus?
Very difficult. We're still working on confirming that number. There are 50 different states in this country, which means there are 50 different health departments, followed by 50 different protocols.
Let me bring in Alan Crumwoody into this debate as well. Alan's a freelance journalist. He was the first to track the Shinko bus man video. Alan, today on Twitter, you wrote that the truth about this virus is being kept from the world by the CDC, by the World Health Organization, to allow friends of the current administration to benefit from it, both financially and physically.
There are therapies we know are effective right now, like forsythia, and they don't even appear on the CDC website.
On your blog, you also wrote that the World Health Organization is somehow in bed with pharmaceutical companies.
Because they are. That's who stands to gain from this. They're working hand in glove. And the hand is reaching into our pockets.
The CDC is exploring forsythia and other homeopathic treatments. But right now, there's no science to back any of these claims.
Or no way Dr. Cheever or the people who put him into power can profit from it.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're back. Patriot Power Hour. Ben the Breaker Banksters. Follow me on Twitter. At Bankster Breaker. Send me an email, feedback, or enter our one of our many contests, DethroneTheBanksters@gmail.com. DethroneTheBanksters@gmail.com. We're coming up on the end of our 10th season of the PPH. Soon, we're going to be bringing on guests. So if you got guest suggestions, you want to come on the air, send it my way again, DethroneTheBanksters@gmail.com. Future Dan, how can folks reach you online and all that fun stuff?
Unless you have masks for sale, hit me up at info@futuredangers.com. But if you're an exporter from China with masks for sale, please don't use that email address. And then on Twitter, it's FutureDanger6 on a regular basis, nonstop. 24/7, 365.
I don't participate, so to speak, in Twitter very much. I have a lot of tweets I've sent, and I retweet a fair amount. But I'd say 80% of my use is reading articles on there and just following your Future Danger 6 account and several of its, you have these themed accounts. Maybe you can go into that. But just following those 4 to 6. I only follow 4 to 6 of them on a regular basis. I guess I follow all of them in overall. But what I'm trying to say is that's like half my news. I don't need to follow all these other sources. It's all contained quite well.
Yeah, and Twitter remains a really critical place to find out what's breaking. When breaking news comes out, it's there. President is tweeting on it. There's a lot of ways that Twitter is still the fastest way to find out things. So that's why Future Danger's, you know, always been present on it. Ben, we did a little bit of math during the break. With 90,000 confirmed dead out of 1.5 million confirmed infected, best available U.S. numbers this week. And we're not debating whether they're, you know, how accurate they are. Separate conversation. Just take them for what they are. You know, the ratios of, you know, death, you know, how lethal it is. We ran it. It's about 6% with those numbers, right?
Yes, absolutely. 90,000 dead divided by 1.5 million infected. Now, that's just positive. You know, those that have been tested. So, but that's where we're going to start at. 90,000 dead, 1.5 million infected, 6%. That's a pretty darn high. That's way higher than the flu, And that's a, I think Ebola's in the double digits, but 6% fatality rate is pretty damn high. But those numbers, I mean, there's a lot of wiggle room there, if you know what I mean. So maybe we'll get into that.
Right. So what share of all the COVID-19 cases are asymptomatic? Is it for every person that discovers they have it? Do two people have it? Three people? Four? So the numbers could be a lot larger, which drives, you know, let's just say instead of 1.5 million infected, it was really there's 3 million and half of them we don't know. So that would be a 3% lethality rate, morbidity rate. And of course, these numbers get messed with by the official figures, sciencey ways to, you know, re-describe, you know, what the plain numbers are showing you. But we're just doing the simple, straight up, publicly reported, you know, numbers right now. So is it 3% lethality? Is it really 1.5% because it's three times as many people? We don't know. And then it begins to be asked the question, well, if that many people have it and didn't get sick from it, was this not a massive overreaction?
And I think that's well put. I think there's so many confounding variables that my dead reckoning is would be 1% fatality rate. So that's much lower than the 6% that those initial numbers would show. That's part of what I'd like
which
to say.
Which is still three times worse than the seasonal flu.
Yes, and certain, and this is where it needs. We need to start using science and some of this math. I know we've been. This has been a very math-heavy show today, but yes, nursing homes and areas where elderly or sick people are, they see massive amounts of deaths per capita and very high death rates. But most areas, most counties, especially in rural America, have very few deaths. And it's just not really truly an issue. So we can't have a blanket approach, I guess is what I'm saying.
Now, the reports of this disease early on is that it would, you know, essentially communities would have their emergency rooms overrun. That right. There was just no
flat
available.
The curve, right?
And that's the question going into the election. Did the federal government do that? And it's going to be a battle right up to the day of the vote, because depending on what you believe really, you know, goes back to whether you support the president or not.
Well, that's the thing. I've seen people argue just as hard both ways, that the reaction was too strong and that it wasn't strong enough. Especially early on, folks were like, oh, this is way overblown. No need to shut down all international transportation and do XYZ. Of course, later on, people said, oh, we should have shut down in November of 2019. How could the president not have seen this, right? So it's really, I don't know. I think a lot of that's going to neutralize itself. But what's not going to neutralize itself is if we're still seeing 35 plus million unemployed in October. That's not going to help the president's cause to get reelected at all.
Well, it depends on unless they decide that, you know, multiple prices of the U.S. Army on an annual basis need to be borrowed to just ship checks to everybody in sight for as long as they can.
I mean,
do you predict another stimulus?
Yes, that's the thing. They still have some runway. The Wizard of Oz still has some power behind the curtain, where a lot of people are waking up to this, but I still think they could do another several trillion before it really gets cuckoo land. And then we'll start seeing real effects. We'll see if the... Here, how about this? And we've been talking mostly about fiscal and federal government. Let's move a little bit to the Federal Reserve, which we're totally leaving out of this on purpose. I am. That's trillions more, but regardless, will the most improved player continue his stomping and continue to knock interest rates down below zero and all this extra quantitative easing? Will Jerome Powell in conjunction with Mnuchin at the Treasury, will they unleash the Kraken and keep another trillion a month coming for the next 5 months? If so, maybe. I mean, that would help Trump, but that would really put us in a bad spot, man.
Well, at least Mnuchin doesn't spend money that Congress hasn't voted for him to spend. So there's some kind of check there, and perhaps reason will prevail in the Senate and probably not the House, but harder to move anything through the Senate. Those people are there longer, maybe for a good reason constitutionally right now. Yeah, I don't know, man. The amount of distortion in our economy really begs the question, when and what will those real effects be later on?
And I was just scrolling through Future Danger, looking at the different indicators. Folks, if you haven't been to FutureDanger.com, third column, see all the articles, of course, but you can keep going down and there's all these different charts and graphs. And it tracks some of the biggest metrics in economic numbers. And what I'm looking at right here is in the quote-unquote safe zone, one of the only deep in the safe zone of the metrics, the U.S. dollar index. What does that mean? The U.S. dollar is very strong right now compared to all other currencies. But guess what? That may not last forever. It's the thing is, everyone is so bad, it's like a race to the bottom. But if that flips, we're going to see, that's when it'll really start to come to reality, if and when the dollar starts losing its clout.
Yeah, it just means all the other currencies are far, far, far worse off right now. But about negative interest rate policies, I'll tell you this. I do listen to Bloomberg Radio here and there to keep a thumb on what globalist bankster media sounds like. And even they, on their morning show, can't imagine negative interest rate policy in the United States. It would be, quote, un-American to ever bring that here. So, you know, you might see the dollar index rubber band into some wild pitfall and really threaten our economic system, but it doesn't look like it'll do it anytime soon. And you may see the morning crew of Bloomberg Surveillance suddenly start cheering on negative interest rates, but neither of those things are right now.
That's a good point. Good point. They might flip on a dime, but they probably still think it's not realistic. Well, you got to remember, I still think there's some tricks up their sleeve. And adding a new type of bond is a great way to paper over, pun intended, negative interest rates, where you just add a whole new class of bond, a 20-year, maybe a 50-year bond.
Century.
Right? A century bond. That would century be ridiculous. Bond. But they're already selling 20-year bonds. They're starting that up, 50-year, 100-year. Or maybe a special war bond, like a COVID bond, a 10-year bond. That's a whole different pricing scheme, right? Take some pressure off the 10-year U.S. Treasury, which, if it goes negative, is just going to flip the entire financial system table over. So you're right. They probably think it's un-American and not possible. And maybe there's ways to twist it around, but it's not going to work for long.
The value of the output and the reward for entire lifetimes of labor are being borrowed and manipulated, you know, generations worth of everything anybody could pay in taxes is being committed right now. And that's how they hide it with these machinations, Ben.
It's really unbelievable how much power they truly wield. The fact that over just a few months, they can 600,000 college graduates, their entire lifetime of work has been spent by the U.S. government in just a few months. And that was just filling in a hole. You know, that was a filling in a hole. It was not... anyway, we're going to break. Music's rolling. We'll be right back for the last 10 moments.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Because if you check on Facebook, you'll find a communique attributed to Dr. Cheever by Elizabeth Nygaard about the quarantine of Chicago hours before it was announced to the public. That's why I think he's a bit disingenuous when he says equal care for all and not just his friends.
Some pretty wild allegations here, Dr. Cheever. I mean, can you tell us what communication appeared and when? What exactly is the nature of your relationship with Elizabeth Nygaard?
Well, again, I'm not aware of anything attributed to me on any social
media. I'm sure you're not. It is there. It is there. Tell them what an Arnold of two really means, Dr. Cheever. Teach them some math. No? I'll do it. On day one, there were two people with it, and then there were four, and then it was 16, and you think you've got it in front of you. But next it's 256, and then it's 65,000, and it's behind you and above you and all around you. In 30 steps, it's a billion sick. 3 months. It's a math problem you can do on a napkin, and that's where we're headed. And that's why you won't even tell us the number of the dead, will you, Dr. Cheever? But you'll tell your friends when to get out of Chicago before anyone else has a chance.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Welcome back to Patriot Power Hour. We are live this Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. putting episodes up on the board towards the 100th scheduled for June 9th, 2020. Let's do it, Ben. Last segment of the Patriot Power Hour tonight, you brought to my attention the famed Ivy League constitutional attorney Alan Dershowitz has penned an article saying that the government has complete authority, if it so chooses, to force vaccinations on American citizens. Nothing in the Constitution prevents that. And with that, you know, what's your reaction? How do you approach the question?
Oof, man, first off, someone coming out of Harvard, I always question them no matter what, right? Part of that Ivy League mafiosos that are running our world, the technocrats and the lawyers. But looking at it on its face, he was actually citing the 10th Amendment specifically. And we're not going to do a legal review here per se, but he's trying to say, look, if you are sick and you refuse treatment, you have that right. If you're the only one being negatively affected, but if you are a greater threat to society, then government has the right to plunge a needle into your arm, I think was the quotable in this article. But no, he's essentially saying, look, he did preface it by saying, we're going to avoid this. We're going to do everything else we can. But really, the government does have the right to give you a vaccination. And we're from Harvard, so we're smart. And therefore, we're correct, I guess. I don't know. That's my reaction.
Yeah, well, it comes with, you know, some kind of collectivist mindset where, you know, I guess if you get a pandemic bad enough, you got a disease bad enough, like something as lethal as Ebola and as contagious as COVID-19, right? then the willingness for all your neighbors to go with that mindset of, yeah, everybody's getting this, it will get incredibly strong. And if no amendment in the Bill of Rights says that a state can't do it, the 10th Amendment certainly says they can if that's what they vote to do in that state. And I guess that's the gist of his story, of his thinking. And it may be considered sound during a bad enough emergency, too. But forcing needles into arms is another matter, right? Second Amendment gets in the way of some of that for some people. So how will they actually do this, which is where the 21st century surveillance technological apparatus that's being directed against us comes into play. What will you not be allowed to buy if you didn't get the vaccine? What devices in communication are you going to be denied from? What can you not access? What can you not operate vehicles on the road? Can you not travel? All of the passive measures that they will inevitably, and that they're beginning to institute on people. And it resembles, homeless people in the United States are really in a different class because oftentimes they don't have identities. They don't have ownership of anything documented. They are itinerant and easily found by the judges to be, put in custody when it doesn't look like they can take care of themselves. If you don't get that vaccine, you might find yourself in a super class of people who are on the outside of privileged society looking in.
Absolutely. And we're seeing some of that in China. We're not getting the full reports and the full implementation of Red China's great firewall and crackdown of free speech on the internet over there, but you can only imagine what they're doing and how we're looking to emulate it in kind of a light version or a softer version. We read a couple articles already. Well, we didn't read the whole articles. I've read them, but the headlines we read earlier today, YouTube and Twitter, with the censorship of people's opinions, even doctors' opinions about this. Look, there is an argument to say Facebook and YouTube, etc., are their own corporation and can allow whatever type of speech they want, and free speech doesn't apply. I think you can argue that. Not going to go down that diatribe right now, but kind of going back to the vaccine, I do want to go down that rabbit hole a little bit. Look, if the vaccine was 100% effective with 0% side effects, I would probably still try to argue the government couldn't force us to do it, even if half the people were dying. But guess what? Way, way, way fewer than half are dying, and we're absolutely sure there's going to be side effects from this vaccine. Even the best vaccine have side effects. It's a math problem. If it's risk and reward, look, there's a risk to them. So, point is, the vaccine's not even going to be tested a real possibility. This is a bit of a moot point, what Dershowitz is saying, but what you said is exactly what we need to look for in terms of the creep of the police state, of the national security state on the citizen. And, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, what's it going to look like? This is like a beta test, right?
Yeah, and it won't always be operated by a deep state that doesn't want to take political direction. Eventually, it'll be operated by a deep state that's taking political direction during a much larger and worse crisis, and it won't be good times. It'll be like patriots will be looking at that situation, and it will be bleak because of some of the precedences that are getting set into place right now. You can't even be on Twitter on a mobile phone without having a phone that is registered. And because there's no more, anonymous cell phones and burner phones and phones that can have batteries removed from them. And they're always on a network, always known everywhere. Snowden made it clear that that's happening. It's going to be a short step towards very few things you can continue to do. During the next lockdown, perhaps restaurants are shut down entirely from takeout, and the only way you can deliver is on a mobile phone. But wait, you had to show your driver's license to even get a phone. So you can't even feed yourself anonymously in these string of those things along.
These are the type of big picture issues we got to look out for. Yeah, we got COVID. We got to get back to work, but we also got to avoid a big second wave. Understood. But let's look 5, 10, 20, 50 years in the future, not get so narrowly focused. Great stuff, future Dan. We're getting out of here. It's been a great, great episode. Like you said, we're coming up on episode 100 in just a few weeks. Have a good Memorial Day weekend, okay?
Yeah. Remember the guys who fell in the days being separated just for that purpose? They fought overseas that we even have a republic.
Absolutely. So let's not piss it away, folks. All right. For future Dan, this has been the Breaker of Banksters. Another great episode in the bank. We'll be back next week on the Patriot Power Hour. Have a good one, folks. Good show, my man.
Did we leave him with enough time for the thing to play out?
Yes, there's 1 minute left on the music, and it's just about to turn 8:58, I think. So
that was a math-heavy Patriot Power Off.
I'm all about it. We didn't get too wonky. I think if you could pass Algebra 1.
We didn't even do out. It just did race. Yeah.
But someone who used to be able to pass Algebra 1 probably can't, you know, barely do addition these days, you know. I know I can barely do addition, and I fucking did calculus.
I never even thought in my entire lifetime about, I used to be able to do Algebra 1, but now I've, be educated. I thought I earned that.
Well, I mean, you can see principles for disaster preparedness.
Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
We are officially here.
All right, so let's get calm, extra, and head up.